As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletic's Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice. We're here talking about your series, triumphant Toronto Blue Jays. They won a series, but somehow it doesn't feel like it. It's a very strange time to be a fan or an observer of the Toronto Blue Jays, but that's exactly what we do here at Spin Rate, where we come at you twice a week. Once a week, you come with Caitlin McGrath, who covers the team for The Athletic. You want to read what Caitlin writes, but everything related to the Blue Jays, go to theathletic.com/spinrate. Subscribe, give you a tidy deal. And then our second episode of the week's me and Ricky Romero, former Blue Jay starter, who joins me right now. Ricky, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Ready to get down to business.
Ready to get down to business. The Blue Jays seemed like they were ready to get down to business in the third game, looking for the sweep, which would have been sweet. But I think the biggest issue here is, and I think you and I were talking about this a little bit last night, they won the series. They won 2 out of 3, and it somehow doesn't feel like it. And I wonder if it's a matter of expectations or a matter of just the way that they've been playing. It feels like they, you know, last night or last few nights in particular, it's the opposite of what they were doing at the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, playing real clean baseball, running the bases really well. Now there's guys getting picked off. They're not picking up these timely hits. It feels almost worse than it is. I mean, they are still a couple games above 500, still well within, you know, reach of everybody in the division. And it is only still May, but somehow it feels worse than that.
Yeah, for some reason, last night's game felt like they lost the series or they got swept. It just seems like we talked about it a little bit last week, the snowball effect. It just feels like, I don't know if the wheels are spinning inside of these guys' brains and they're frustrated. Obviously, it's not pretty offensively, let's be honest. And those guys know that. And you just, again, you see it when they put the camera inside the dugout and these guys are sitting there just staring up at the sky, or they're just kind of sitting there wondering what's going on. And yeah, I mean, you and I talked about it yesterday and you're like, Ricky, they won a series. And I'm like, you're right. But it doesn't feel like that. It just seems like, again, it's everyone's just kind of left wondering because the expectations for this team are so high. And I think the players know that they're not living up to it. And, you know, when you hear that a George Springer called the meeting and all the hitters were in there and stuff like that, you know that they're clearly thinking about what's going on, and obviously they care. They don't want to be in this situation. Now, the biggest thing for me is you can't be looking at the past anymore. Now we got the Cincinnati Reds in front of us and we got to go in there and do work. I texted you this last night. I said, they got to go in there and absolutely destroy this team. They really do. The Reds should not even be in the same category as the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's be real. And this is a series that the offense can wake up and do some damage for 3 straight games.
Absolutely. And that's what they need. I think that's what they need. You know, a couple guys need to get right. You know, Teoscar Hernandez in particular is a guy who's, you know, just struggling a little bit in terms of coming back from injury. and obviously Vladdy, who in some ways I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s hitting streak because he's on a 15-game hitting streak. He extended it late in the game there on Wednesday night with a hard single to right field. But in some ways, it's also been like the most disappointing or quietest hitting streak I can imagine. Number one, because again, expectations. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had one of the best seasons in club history last season. He is obviously among the best hitters in baseball. There's no doubting that. But when you see him coming up here, and I did some digging on Baseball Reference, you can't find, there are two, not even one other hitting streak of that length that has featured as few extra base hits. You know, Robbie Alomar had a 16-game hitting streak where he had one double and one triple, but he had a lot more hits. Domiso Garcia, shout out to Domiso Garcia, burned his shirt, had three doubles in a 20-game hit streak once. But like, those, you know, those are second basemen. Those are, you know, middle infielders from the 80s and 90s. Vlad is different. So while it's, you know, this is almost like the bottom as kind of as poorly as you can expect Vlad to perform with his eye, with his hand-eye coordination, with his bat speed, he's still not doing what he should. And that's, I think, the bigger challenge with the team. It's like there are lots of guys who are either not quite right in terms of their timing, in terms of their production. There's guys like poor Matt Chapman. Oh my God, that guy can't buy an extra base hit, and he's just scalding the ball. I was looking at his exit velocity. He hit that ball in the ninth inning last night that had about a 720 expected batting average. Like, he hit it 109 miles an hour to center field, right at the center fielder, right? A couple of degrees either way, either, you know, towards the gap, it's a double. A couple of degrees up, it's into the seats. But Matt Chapman, and he's just been consistently hitting the ball hard and not getting any results for it. So it's just so many of those things happening at the same time, with kind of, again, Vlad being the sort of mirror that we can see this team, where it's like, yeah, he's doing okay. He's got a 15-game hitting streak. He's hitting whatever, 280 or 290. His OPS is well over 800, but it's not as what it could be. And if you asked him, he just, like, you know, as you said, with George Springer calling a meeting, they know something's not right. But, you know, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way, and we should be like, they're fortunate to be treading water through the toughest part of their schedule when nobody's right. And they're still, again, winning games against a team like Seattle that won just as many games as they did last year.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And with Vladdy, obviously we're holding him to this high standard because he set the bar so high last season that when he's not doing what we're accustomed to seeing, it's like, what's going on with Vladdy? Is he okay? But then again, you're looking at the 15-game hitting streak. A 15-game hitting streak in the big leagues is not easy to do. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that on a consistently night in and night out. And let's not forget how good a first baseman he's been playing at first base. He's been tremendous out there. Like, to me, everyone always was like, oh, how is the question going to be moving from third base to first base? Is he going to struggle? Is he going to be able to stay on his feet? Well, shoot, he's passed that test easily. He makes great plays, so you give him credit to that. And also, when you're losing and you're not winning ball games, and when you're not living up to everyone's expectations, I feel like everything's under a microscope right now. Everything. Like, for example, Chapman hitting the ball hard. It's not, those hits are not landing for him. And it almost seems, it's, baseball works in funny ways. And it almost seems like when it rains, it pours. And it's the truth. Like, it's just nothing can go your way. And a couple nights ago, that triple that Springer hit, like bloop triple that he hit where Sousa dove, you're just like, oh my God, this is it. This is it. This is what they need. And it just, you know, and it's the little things like that, because I feel like in baseball, it's all about momentum. You get one of those little hits, or somebody that's struggling gets jammed and then the base hit lands and you're like, okay, finally, I can breathe a little bit. I got a little bit of breathing room and I can go on and keep doing my thing. But it just seems like they do one of those things and then it just doesn't carry over. And again, it's an offense that's clearly searching for an identity. And obviously Teoscar Hernandez not being there for the early part of the season hurts him, and it hurt the lineup a bit. And Danny Jansen too. He's gotten off to a great start, and you just hope, again, I know we keep saying this, it almost seems like we're just broken records, Drew. We just keep saying like, it just stick with the team and they're going to figure this out. They really are. And you're just wondering when. We don't know when. We wish we knew when, but stay patient. At the end of the day, like you said, they're still over 500. Nothing's been won, nothing's been lost. So let's just keep let's keep the faith. And I think this team's gonna be fine. I know I say it every week, but I really do. It can't be like this forever. When you hear the broadcast and you hear Dan Schulman talk about it, he's like, it's not gonna stay like this. This offense is gonna click. And I know it's hard for fans to hear that. And you get impatient hearing that, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear it. I just want these guys to go out there and do what they do. But, you know, let's look at the positives. Look at Santiago Espinal and what he's been able to do. My goodness. I mean, he made everyone forget about Kevin Beja really quick, and rightfully so. He came in ready, and he's been doing his thing, man. I mean, he's another guy that's on a hitting streak, I believe. And, you know, it's just he just goes out there and he's getting on base for the big boys. Like we said earlier this season, we need that bottom of the lineup to get on base. And he's been doing that. He's been driving in runs. And, man, what a surprise. And I'm happy for that guy.
Absolutely. He's very easy to root for. And it's been fun to watch his kind of progression. I saw somebody highlighting Carson Cistulli, who used to write for Fangraphs and now actually works for the Blue Jays. He used to do this thing called the Fringe Five, where he had a few different things he would look for in minor league players. And Santiago Espinal was one that he highlighted years back before he even worked for the Blue Jays. So maybe Carson's work in there helped bring Espinal in, and now he's become a productive big leaguer. We're also having Carson Cistulli in the infield, if only. Having Santiago Espinal and Matt Chapman in the infield almost every day, certainly making Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s job a little bit easier over there at first base, where he's still getting, you know, he's getting accustomed, but looking a lot better. It's easy to look good when you've got Matt Chapman just beaming lasers across the infield, chest high, directly into your glove every time. I guess the question that I have, or the thing that I'm thinking about, again, kind of going with this theme of expectations, and I think you already answered this, but is it time to adjust the expectations for this team, or is it just still too early to maybe think maybe this team isn't what we thought it was? Maybe this team needs to make a change, either, you know, in terms of the personnel, or maybe, you know, another change somewhere else that could turn things around a little bit. Again, I get the sense that you think it's too early, but I mean,
yeah,
because it is too early.
it is early. But I'm sure people are questioning it for sure. I mean, us, and I'll say us fans, you know, we sit there and we try and play, you know, GM and oh, what are they thinking? I wonder if they're going to make a move. You just never know. And I do think it's early. This team still has plenty of firepower in them. And it's just a matter of them clicking. And again, baseball's tough. I think I saw a quote by Ross Atkins, like, saying something like like, we got to give credit to the opposing pitchers too, and the game plan that they've executed against our hitters. And it really is true. You look at Marco Gonzalez last night, and he goes out there and he executed his game plan, and he did what he wanted to do to those Jays hitters. And again, it's big league pitching. And I just feel like obviously, and I'm sure the hitters know this, that they sometimes have to make adjustments in game. And it almost seems like they're struggling making those adjustments in game right now. And it's all good and dandy when you're putting up 10 plus runs a game and stuff like that. But it's obviously the quality of at bats and going out there and getting your pitches to hit. And I feel like sometimes we're seeing guys expand their zones and you're seeing bad swings on bad pitches.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
the question I think when I think about adjustments is Vlad, right? And again, I mentioned earlier that Vlad hit that ball hard to the right field. We've seen him kind of doing that more and more, which previously in his career was kind of like the precursor to him being able to turn on the ball, really getting inside on stuff and using his power and launching balls out to left field, where we haven't quite seen that yet. It just feels like we're still sort of in adjustment or pre-adjustment mode, where he knows they're pitching him away. Again, you think back even to the game in New York where he hit those three home runs in the double, where he did in that game, he made that in-game adjustment, right? Where Cole tried to pitch him away and then Vlad smashed it hard right down the first baseline and then Cole tipped his hat. We're seeing that adjustment, and we've seen a little bit of it, I think, with Bichette as well, who's sort of, you know, obviously not where he was in the first month of the season, but again, sort of slowly adjusting. But it's just, it's such a cliche in baseball season to be like, it's a long season. It's still early. But, you know, the thing that I keep coming back to is, you know, if you think it's time to adjust expectations, what is it based on? Are you basing it on the fact that you no longer believe that Teoscar Hernandez can hit? That would be a little bit crazy. Do you think that suddenly Lourdes Gurriel Jr. cannot hit? Again, maybe, as I said with Caitlin on the weekend, that's not necessarily something I believe, but I have a lot more belief in like Teoscar's approach, even just directly compared to Lourdes Gurriel. Lourdes is a very free swinger and goes through these crazy slumps and then has these crazy red hot months. But you know, there's obviously talk about already Blue Jays fans are like, oh, look, maybe the Nationals will trade Josh Bell. And then people are like, maybe they'll trade Juan Soto because they can't sign him. It's like, well, obviously every team, Juan Soto is an upgrade for every single team at either of their, I guess he plays right field now, more so than left as he had in the past. But if the Blue Jays are in the market for Juan Soto, they should do that, but they're not going to be.
100%. It should be. What do you want? Who do you need? Yeah. Here you go.
Here's our top 10 prospect list. Pick four.
No, but you know what, Drew? And this is the thing. Teams are adjusting to the Blue Jays hitters. The scouting report is out there. Pitchers are obviously know what to do and how to execute the game plan right now, plain and simple. And you're seeing it. It almost seems like a lot of the teams are pitching the Blue Jays the same way. Hey, these guys are free swingers. They're not going to take their walks. If we get ahead, we expand the zone and we keep expanding and keep expanding because these guys are, again, they just want to go out there and hit. And I think that you're seeing that a lot right now where if a pitcher is going out there and jumping ahead on these hitters, their job is just to continue to execute their game plan. And it just seems like almost every series, it's the same scouting report. And it's easy when you have tape, when you have a lot of analytical data and all that good stuff. You're like, hey, I just got to go out there and do this. These guys are not going to walk. And when you know that a team's free swinging, it's for a pitcher, if you know you can, jump ahead of hitters, it can be an easy night for you.
Well, and it goes back to what we've been saying or what we were saying in the early parts of the season, where you don't have any room for error. If you're which I think you see a lot of the frustrations early on with umpires, right? Okay, well, so there's a couple games where I don't know, there was one night where the umpire had a really rough night. But when you're putting so much in all your eggs in that basket, where like, well, if I'm not getting this call on the outside corner, then I'm flailing away at those pitches. And then the pitchers are executing, right? The pitchers are executing on top of that, which again, I think all this stuff kind of adds up, right? There are so many layers to what's been going on with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, who again, are still 2 games above 500, who sit comfortably within shouting distance of, there are 3 playoff spots now, right? Up for the wild card. So they are far from out of any of those races. Not even, I mean, while they are many, many games, well, 8.5 games behind the Yankees.
You know why I think it hurts? Because I think everyone realizes what happened last year, and they know every game has a meaning now. Mm-hmm. Like every game means something because last year they missed it by one game. So you don't want to look back at the season and say, if we would have won that game, we'd be in the playoffs. And I think that's why fans are getting frustrated and they're yelling at the TV, going on Twitter, going on rant and all that good stuff. But I think that's why it hurt. Every loss is hurting a little bit deeper this season. And again, the expectations on this team, and trust me, to all our listeners out there, these guys know that, and they know that they can be a lot better. I know in that clubhouse, when they're going out there to work every night, they know that they're better than the opposing team. Obviously, it's not showing right now, but they're just, again, stick with them and be patient, and let's hope that this turns around, because when they're playing good baseball and the pitching has been unbelievable. I mean, every guy they've run out there has just been tremendous so far. Mm-hmm. And you put a good offense together with that, man, this team is going to be so fun to watch.
Again, clean up some of those mistakes that they've been making in terms of, you know, again, Teoscar getting picked off second base is about as a suboptimal an outcome you can have when you got a guy who's struggling at the plate and then he's like, I got it together. And then he doesn't have it together. You know, we're talking about pitchers executing and just, you know, all these things are going to, I think the Blue Jays kind of struggles, such as they are a bit of maybe mirage isn't the right word, but as I said, it is very complex. There's a lot of different moving parts and pieces to it. So that should the Blue Jays, you know, get right against, would that be, while they do have to face the heart of the Reds sort of rotation, getting Luis Castillo and then Hunter Green throwing a million miles an hour. You know, that this is where it can happen, right? Start to play against the worst team, start to feel good, start to get physically and mentally in the place that you need to be. And then the runs start to come. And then all of this other stuff, you know, the great pitching that has been such a calling card of this team, which I saw Gregor Chisholm, who writes for the Toronto Star, comparing this team now again to the 2016 Blue Jays, where we kind of expected all this offense, but it was more about the pitching that, all, you know, they only used famously seven starters in that whole year, you know, got great performances all up and down the rotation. And I think, again, talking about expectations, a guy like you say, Kikuchi, whose expectations were relatively low. There was a lot of talk about him being overpaid and they can't believe they gave him 3 years. And then it kind of had a couple of rough starts, but he's a guy who's already exceeding expectations by listening, not just to Pete Walker and not just to Matt Bushman, but I know that he's listening to Ricky Romero when you are going, throw the fastball, more fastballs. But because he's looked great, he looked so good against his former team, obviously something that meant a lot to him, but just like the poster child for making adjustments, for trusting in the people around you and continuing to go out there and battle. Again, I think he and any of those, you know, anybody who is able to do that deserve a lot of credit for when they can get out there and you know, work through things when they're not 100% comfortable, but really just looking really good and becoming a better pitcher right before our eyes.
Yeah, no, he really has, man. And it's been fun to watch. We said it last week, when you have 94, 97 in your back pocket, it makes your job easier if you're jumping ahead. And the craziest part to me, a lot of Asian pitchers who come have that high leg kick, that hesitation kick. And the fact that he's kind of toned it down with that, to make that adjustment after, he's a veteran guy. He knows his body, he knows his mechanics. But for him, and this is a we were talking about it, Caitlin wrote a great article about it and got some great quotes in him talking about that, getting rid of that hesitation kick and kind of easing off on it. And again, the communication between him and Pete sounds like it's been through the roof. I mean, it's everything you want in a pitcher pitching coach relationship. It's hard to make these adjustments in season, because you usually make them in spring training and stuff like that. But sometimes you need tape, you need reps, and you need to see this guy, and you're like, okay, do it your way and we'll adjust as we go along, but you have to trust me. And it seems like Kikuchi has bought into that. And again, the key word being communication. And when you got a guy like Pete Walker, who's able to communicate with his starters the way he does, and we watched the last season with Robbie Ray, and obviously the rest is history with him winning the Cy Young and stuff like that. And then you get Kikuchi, who I'm sure knows about that, has seen that, and, you know, even talking about his cutter and saying, I think they call it the bitter pitch or something like that. And him adjusting that pitch and saying, you know what, I want it to be kind of like the Robbie Ray type slider. And he's quoted as saying that in the article. And when you bring all those intangibles into the table and you're trying to figure this thing out, and you have a pitching coach who's dedicated like that, it makes the pitcher's job a lot easier. And you're like, okay, I'll trust you. Let's go out there to that bullpen. Let's work. Let's try and get rid of that little bit of that hesitation kick. Let's create more flow. Let's jump ahead. Let's use our fastball. What do you use? 64% fastballs this past game. I mean, that's telling you that he's really trusting his stuff. And he's trusting his fastball and saying, you know what? If I jump ahead, I can do whatever I want to these hitters. And we saw it against Seattle. And again, he should know that he's a huge part in this rotation. I know he said something along the lines that, Pete told me that I'm going to be a huge part. Damn right you are. They gave you $36 million, man. So it's good to see. It's good to see Kikuchi coming around again. When if you're able to have 1 through 5 guys that are legit and going out there and giving you big time innings in the big leagues, you can't ask for anything more than that. And Kevin Gausman said it too. He's like, we're running guys out there that just have no hit stuff almost every given night, and you see that. And again, to me, I'm a pitcher, so I like watching guys who dominate like that. And when you have power stuff and they make hitters look silly, it's fun to watch.
It's such a cliche. And even though the way that people have pitched, the way that everyone in the league pitches now has changed so much, right? The idea of pitching backwards or working off your fastball, a good fastball is still the best pitch that anybody's got, right? It makes it all, everything else work. And when you can go to that fastball, know you can get a strike, and then get ahead and give yourself those chances, or even do the opposite, right? You know, if you can steal a strike with your slider or your cutter thing, and then be like, now they know that 97 is there, but maybe they're not going to see it. Maybe they're not going to see it until 2 strikes. Maybe they're going to see it when I'm ahead. Maybe they're going to see it when they're behind. You know, it just makes for a better pitcher. But I've the one thing about Kikuchi is who has said, you know, he doesn't necessarily like to do that kind of tinkering as much in between starts. There's no motivator quite like getting your brains beat in, though, right? When you go out and have a couple bad starts and you're getting lit up, it's like, hey, maybe we should change some things. It's like, yep, I will do that.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that Pete told him, like, we're not looking for immediate results. I mean, they're clearly getting them, and it all falls on the pitcher and the player itself. Like, are you willing to buy in? Are you willing to listen? And credit to Kikuchi, because it's not easy to get quick results like that when you're trying to make adjustments. But if you're paying your dues and you're doing the dirty work when nobody's watching, it definitely pays off when those lights turn on at 7:05 at the Rogers Center. And again, I tip my hat off to him because it's been fun to watch, and hopefully he continues this streak. And again, when you have guys who are doing it, who are going 6-7 innings, it motivates you. You don't want to be left behind. Trust me. You don't want to be that guy that's the 4-inning guy, the 5-inning guy. No, if Manoah's going 7, Gausman's going 7, I want to go 7. So it puts good pressure in you to be able to go out there and perform every fifth day.
More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to look ahead too far, you know, especially you don't want to look past the Cincinnati Reds, of course, because while they're not a great team, they are far from the worst team in baseball, and they're still big leaguers. They're still professionals. They're not
exactly.
They're not the kind of team, you know. There is no such thing as the kind of team that you would ever want to look beyond. But the Blue Jays are coming up, a team that have coming up, I believe, that in the next week. Again, talking about expectations, a team that you and I talked about a little bit at the beginning of the season, which is the Angels. So the Angels are three games ahead of where the Blue Jays are right now, but everything feels like the Angels are getting away with murder in a way because they've been so bad. They've been such a disappointment for so long. And now here they are, you know, just winning games. And you know, although they were just swept by the Rangers of all teams, again, the expectations are so different for a team that has right. as many good players as the Angels do, but at the same time, when they're winning, it just feels almost unnatural. It's such a strange thing. A team that I'm sure you get to see up close.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've seen some games, and obviously when you have Mike Trout in your TV, he's like, you can't turn your TV off. And then after that, you follow it up with Shohei Ohtani, your guy, Ohtani, and you can't shut off the TV because they're going to do something special. And it's crazy how much attention Ohtani is getting, and you're looking at Mike Trout's numbers, and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm right here. Hello," and he's having a tremendous year already, and he's just reminding us that he's still one of the top players, if not the top player in Major League Baseball.
It's so easy to overlook Ohtani's pitching. I really think that because he was so great at the plate last year, and had a couple rough starts in the early going, including like a really bad one in New York. And he's had one bad start this year, but like watching him pitch, it is incredible. It is incredible to watch. He was throwing 101 in the sixth inning last night. He's got this, you know, everyone knows about his splitter, but his slider has become a really, really effective pitch for him, getting a ton of strikes with it. Like just the craziest stuff he's got, you know, again, a guy who's kind of trimmed down his offerings a little bit, kind of sticking a little bit more meat and potatoes, not throwing 1,000 different pitches. He's still flipping a curveball here and there, but you know, the Blue Jays get the Angels for four. So if you're a Blue Jays fan and don't get to watch the Angels too often, you're almost for sure going to get to see Ohtani pitch, which doesn't really help the Blue Jays in their schedule's been really tough phase because now they'll go through a very good Angels team as well as going away to face St. Louis, which, you know, the Cardinals are the Cardinals. I don't even know any other way to describe them. Like they're
just solid, just, man.
They're always solid. They're always that way. They talk about the Cardinals way. The Cardinals have about the same record as the Blue Jays. They're just machines. They just crank out good players. They crank out guys that hit line drives like they're falling out of bed. And they're the kind of team that will spend money to bring in guys like Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know if I'll use the word model franchise, but they're tough. And the Blue Jays schedule, a little bit of a reprieve against the Reds, can't overlook them, and then it just gets tough again. So hang with the Blue Jays. Even if they're facing good teams, that doesn't mean, like, again, they're a good team. Their Blue Jays are a good team. They were a favorite in the American League for a good reason. And while they're not quite there yet, I think you can look at just what any, you know, advanced kind of projection system, which I don't know if you may or may not be the kind of guy that puts a lot of stock in that, but they still project the Blue Jays to win 90 games, right? They expect the Blue Jays to win a ton more games for the rest of the season compared to what they've done so far. They're going to score a lot more. The talent is there, right? And it's just a matter of not yet adjusting our expectations. Maybe May, maybe June. Maybe we'll get into June. Mid-June, then it's time to be like, okay, well, something's up here. We need to talk about what can be done.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing right now, Drew, is for them to go out there and win series. Yeah, I mean, you hope that they go out there and sweep the teams, but if they're winning series, they're doing a damn good job. And if they kind of set that goal right now that, hey, we just got to go out there, win the series, it's all you can ask for.
And it's all they can do, right? You can only, you can't, I think it's important. And there's been some talk about guys like Vlad even expanding his zone. And we talked about that a little bit. If they're expanding, you can't win the series in the first game. You can't win the series in one at bat. right? So just, you know, they know better than anyone that it's a long season, yeah, that there's lots of time. They have more than 130 games remaining. So, excuse me, they have 125 games remaining.
I think I saw Springer say, yeah, we got to stop trying to go out there and hit a 5-run home run, which is what I feel like they're doing. They're trying to put it all together in one game, and it's not going to happen in one game. Let's just be real. This is not how baseball works. It's going to be adjustments here and there, game to game. And the more you see that, the more results you're going to get. But if you're trying to do everything so much, this game will eat you up, and it'll just keep burying you and burying you and burying you. And you don't want to see that with this team. You want to see them make the adjustments as they go on. And next thing you know, they're going to find themselves in a good groove. And that's just what baseball is. And when you find yourself in a good groove, you feel comfortable. You feel like you're 10 feet tall and nothing can get past you. So hopefully they get to that mentality and that level. And again, and then we see more winning baseball.
Speaking of nothing can get past you, here's my prediction that I'm going to leave us with, which is that when the worm turns, when things start to go right for Matt Chapman, that's when you're going to see things start to go better for the whole team.
And I like that.
Again, I think Matt Chapman is like just right there. He hit so many hard hit balls yesterday. Unbelievable. You know, on the line, not just into the ground, not, there was some bad luck. There was some just pounding the baseball. When it gets right for him, and I think it's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. That's when I think you'll see the offense start to kick into gear a little bit more, because A, he's so capable of hitting for power, just like so many of them are. But again, it just feels right there for him. Maybe not even like more, even more so than Vlad, right? Obviously Vlad is still getting his hits, but Chapman feels like it's just like the width of a hair away from going on an insane tear. And then I think that's when you're really going to see it. And if it, I don't know that I'm suggesting that Chapman's going to carry the Blue Jays to a bunch of wins, but he's the guy. I think
he's a key piece. Absolutely.
A key piece. And no matter where they hit him in the lineup, he's going to be driving people in. He's going to be extending innings. He's going to be creating opportunities for the team to score and put up big innings, which is one thing that we haven't really seen from him so much this year. So Matt Chapman's my guy who's going to turn it all around.
I like that. I like that prediction because, again, he's a guy who's been in the MVP voting. He's a guy that we know can hit home runs. Shoot, he was hitting him out at Oakland out of all ballparks, where it is a tough ballpark to hit. And when you see him get hot, you're right. I think this team's gonna get it going. And stay with it, Maddie. I mean, I don't know if you're listening to us or not, but if you are, stick with it, man, because he's so damn talented, and it's fun to watch when you watch him play third base. And obviously our expectations of him offensively are a lot higher, and I'm sure his expectations are a lot higher than what he's showing right now. So hopefully the frustration level is not at that where he's over his head and he's trying to figure it all out, because like you mentioned, last night he hit 4 hard hit balls and he only had one hit to show for it. So it's just the way baseball can be cruel sometimes, man. And it stinks when it's like that. But that's why we love this game.
That is true. That is true. And we will keep our eyes on it. We will keep our eyes on the Blue Jays. Whether or not Matt Chapman is the guy who's going to turn the whole thing around, we shall see. But we can only hope. His name is Ricky Romero. My name is Drew Fairservice. We will come back next week with more on hopefully the series triumphant again, 2 in a row, turning things around, headed for a mini series in St. Louis, Toronto Blue Jays, on the next edition of Spinner.